But they also missed, and I actually had a, I think it was either a coach or like a gym teacher or something like that. It was, his name was Michael Hunt.
Yes. I've known two. Yes. I've known two Michael Hunts.
And they must go by Michael. Hunt. Yes.
It's my, and oh gosh, over the loudspeaker at school.
Yeah.
Mike Hunt. Yes. To the office.
Yes. Mike. That's classic. I love it.
Yeah.
It's just so funny to me for some reason. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So, happy April Fool's Day, everybody.
Yes, happy April Fool's.
For all you fools out there.
Right.
So, I found this. This is April Fool's Day around the world. I didn't know it was celebrated around the world. I thought it was mostly a Western European and American tradition.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
But I guess it's being picked up. So, this in Brazil, the day is known as the Dia de Mentira. Mentira means lie. So, the day of the lie. And like many other countries, news outlets put like ridiculous stories out there,
right,
like false claims, and a lot of individuals tell white lies to each other to fool each other or do pranks. I don't know what the derivation of this is, but they're doing it. In France, this I know about, it's called Poisson d'Avril, which is April fish.
Oh, right. Yes.
So mostly among the children, what they do is they put a paper fish on your back.
Yeah.
And then
you don't know that it's on your back.
You don't know.
And that's the part of the fun.
Yeah, and then when the victim discovers it, the prankster will yell out, Poisson d'Avril, April fish. Which I think must be very cute in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to imagine these kids trying to be sneaky and they're not good at it.
Yeah.
They're trying to get a fish onto someone's
back. And to really get it there,
yeah,
and to fool
Pierre
someone.
Will never know.
Yeah.
In Greece, there are a couple of beliefs around April Fools. First being that if you can trick somebody, you will have good luck all year long. So this must have coincided with some point in April kind of being the beginning of a year.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really interesting because it is the beginning of the astrology year.
Yeah.
Oh.
So maybe it was going back to the beginning of the ancient calendar as well. Other beliefs that if you successfully trick someone, so this is only in the country, if you successfully trick someone, you will have a year of good crops.
All right.
Okay. So, and then also water from a rainfall on April 1st has healing abilities.
Oh,
okay. So collect it, I guess. In India, the younger generation is picking up on the Western tradition. They have April Fool's Day. The kids like to yell, April Fool, after they hoax someone, and they do pranks, and they make fake phone calls.
Okay.
Which I find funny. In Ireland,
it's... Yeah, you can't really make prank phone calls anymore, because everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Remember the prank phone calls?
Yes,
how much
okay.
fun they were?
I have a list of prank phone call names that I generated. Some of them I remember, and some of them I looked online for. My mom, as a part-time job way back in the day, used to work in a fitting room after her regular job. And she would answer the phones also, and then she would make the announcements over the loudspeaker.
Okay.
So she was constantly getting people calling her, trying to Bart Simpson prank her.
Oh, no.
And they got her a few times.
Oh,
and
no.
One time I was in there, and afterwards, she just had to go, oh! Like they got me. So I'll read those in a minute.
Okay.
I just find them funny.
Yeah.
In Ireland, April Fool's Day, like in the UK, it ends at noon. So you have to do your pranks before noon.
Oh, God.
If you prank someone after noon, you're the fool.
Oh,
basically how it
okay.
works out. So you, the media outlets put the hoaxes out. And then, oddly enough, some people will drive on the right side of the road.
Oh, that's...
Which is not good because they drive on the left.
Right.
So I don't think that's funny.
That's
so
not
much
funny
as dangerous.
At all. Yeah.
But whatever. In France, we do the paper fish, but also they do it in Italy as well. And apparently the Italians like it a very elaborate prank. Uh-huh. So they will spend a lot of time putting a lot of energy into a huge prank. Yeah. And that's the thing.
Okay.
So I don't know the Polish language at all. I'm not even going to try to say this, even though it's written out in Polish. There's a phrase that says, April Fool's Day, be careful. You can be wrong.
Oh.
In Poland. Be wary of appointment changes. I thought I had a gynecological appointment too.
My people. Switching appointments as a joke. That's
yes.
just disruptive. It's not even
disruptive.
Funny.
And news reports. So they said, watch out for anyone who wants to change your appointment.
Okay.
And for the news reports on this day. In Scotland, a foolish person, a fool is called a gawk, is G-O-W-K. So it's called Hunt the Gawk Day.
Okay.
Hunt the Fool Day. It's unique. It's the first 2 days of April. So not to be undone, the Scots are adding another 24 hours on to April Fool's Day. So it's 2 days. The first day, you prank and hoax people. And the second day is known as Taily Day, where you try to stick a tail on people.
Okay.
That must get annoying.
It's and they got days a fish of, and a tail.
2 days of mirth.
Oh, God.
In Sweden, there are many attempts to trick others. It's on April Fool's Day. But if you're successful at tricking someone, instead of screaming April Fools, you shall, I'll try to say it. April, dindamasil, jag, kanlora, digvart, jag, vill. Which means.
That was good.
Yeah. Which means, because it rhymes too, so it's easier than the Polish one. Sorry about that. Poland. It means April, you stupid herring. I can trick you wherever I want. That's a long thing to yell.
April, you stupid herring. I can trick you whenever I want.
Yeah. Is there something with herrings? I don't know. Any Swedes out there who are listening, I want to hear more about this herring thing.
I don't know.
Because I feel like it comes up a lot.
Yeah, well, that's part of their food.
One
yeah,
of their... but what is the herring inherently stupid? Is it thought of, is it like a turkey? You know how we think
well,
of a turkey?
I mean, because we dominate over the herring.
A red herring?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, what's up
know.
With herring?
That's a great question.
All right,
I don't
Swedes,
know.
And I know you're out there. Let us know.
Yeah, send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Yeah. And let us know about this herring.
This herring situation. We want to get to the bottom of this. And in the UK, as in, what we're saying, like in Ireland, it's only half the day. So if you want to join in the fun, get up early. So that's April Fool's Day around the world. Here we just do like small pranks, I guess, or nothing.
Yeah.
Generally people are so busy that the day goes by without even realizing what's going on.
Yeah. There might be a headline or something and it's like, please,
but
we're so busy.
With this administration, would we even know if it was a joke headline?
I know. Things
are so topsy turvy right now. Like a piece breaks out would be like a funny headline. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Trump steps down.
Yes.
It would be great to hear any other day, but the April Fool's.
But April Fool's.
April Fool's. He's really a dictator.
Yes. He's president for life.
Oh, guess what? It's his martial law.
Surprise. All right. What do you have?
Well, the word fool is from the Latin foolus, which means bag of wind.
Are you serious?
Or bellows, or that which contains air or breath.
Yeah. Foolus maximus. So it's a whoopee cushion, basically.
Yeah, and the term originates from the old Italian buffare, meaning to puff out one's cheeks.
Buffare?
Yeah, so it has a lot to do with, like, your bag of hot air. You know,
oh, I
it's like a
that.
Fool. And so a buffoon is a term for someone who provides amusement through inappropriate appearance or behavior.
Okay. A buffoon?
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of those words that it's so infrequently used. If someone calls you that, it's really harsh.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
I used to think it was like, just like you're a silly person. But in
Australia,
seems
pretty serious.
It's more affectionate to call someone a buffoon.
Really?
Yeah, it's
oh,
not
you
as,
buffoon.
Yeah. But it really, originally the term was used to describe a ridiculous but amusing person. The term is now frequently used as a derogatory in a derogatory sense, to describe someone considered foolish or somehow displaying inappropriate, vulgar, bumbling, or ridiculous behavior.
Huh.
Yeah. So, I always thought it was more lighthearted. It wasn't like...
Like a clown.
Yeah.
But like, and someone's doing something intentionally to make people laugh or, you know.
Yeah. And so, it's kind of like a jester.
Yeah.
So a jester is an entertainer, really, in the medieval and the Renaissance eras. And it was a member of the household or a nobleman or a monarch employed him to entertain him and his guests.
It was a tough job, too.
Yeah.
You had to know how far you could go without going too far.
Right. And there wasn't much forgiveness if you weren't funny.
No.
Yes. So a jester also was a performer who entertained common folk at fairs and markets.
The plebs.
Right.
The regular people.
Interesting. They did this theater and they performed to these regular plebs who were called the groundlings.
Yeah, who were down there?
Because they were sitting on the ground.
On the
there
ground.
Were two poor to afford seats, so they were the groundlings, which is also the name of a comedy group out in L.A.
Yeah,
the groundlings, which
I like
a lot
that.
Of our favorite comics got their start.
The fool.
Right.
So I have the list of names that I came up here with if you're doing the prank call.
Okay.
You want to ask for these people. You want to ask for, may I please speak with Dick Hertz?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Urinator.
What?
Urinator.
Oh.
Urinator. I'm a wiener, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You're a snotballs. I hadn't heard that one.
No.
Anita Bath. That's always good. Miss Bath. Is Miss Bath there? I'm looking for a butt reeks, Maya butt reeks. Oliver Close Off, of course, the Russian
Oliver.
Gentleman.
Oh, Oliver Close Off.
Yes, yeah. Oliver Close Off. And of course, Mr. Jacques Strap. Also, my favorite, two of my favorites actually, IP Freely.
Yes.
And Hugh Jass.
Yeah, Hugh Jass probably the king of them all.
Yes,
right?
The king of them. Amanda Huggenkiss.
Yeah.
Ivana Tinkle.
Yeah.
I can't sell this one. Justin Sider Jr.
Oh.
And then Mike Roch. But they also missed, and I actually had I think he was either a coach or like a gym teacher or something like that. Whose name was Michael Hunt.
Yes. I've known two Michael Hunts.
And they and must go by Michael.
Hunt.
Yes.
It's my, and oh gosh, over the loudspeaker at school.
Yeah.
Mike Hunt.
Yes.
To the office.
Yes. Mike. It's classic. I love it.
Yeah.
It's just so funny to me for some reason.
They got the 4 R's.
What's the 4 R's? Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat.
To all that was 40th Street. Hashtag #BlockLifeNYC.
So the fool has different connotations. It could be the entertainer, the jokester, the buffoon. But it's really, when we're talking about fools, we're like, you did something stupid.
Yeah.
And it's an error in judgment.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that people just do on a regular basis that makes, that's a problem.
They're doing something foolish.
They're doing something
the foolishness.
Foolish. So it's like, how do you become a fool? What are all these things that will
really?
Make other people think that you're a fool?
Okay.
And
obviously this is like things that we don't want to do.
Don't want to do.
Okay.
All right. So number one is make assumptions.
Okay. Yeah, because then you make an ass
out of you and me.
Apparently, yeah.
Yes. The caution is that sometimes people don't like being checked up on, and although you have the best intentions to avoid assumptions, you still end up being slapped or told off by someone who asks too many questions or the wrong questions.
Who is slapping people? Have I ever been able to slap somebody? I don't think so.
Yeah.
You see it in film, so you always hope one day it'll be you. It's like throwing champagne glasses into a fire. It never happens.
So people don't like, you make assumptions because you want to, like, you're like, oh, people don't like it when you ask too many questions. So I'm just going to assume.
And just run with this.
That it's okay. I'm just going to assume you're going to bring all the food to the party. Instead of asking the questions, are you going to bring it? Don't bother me about this buffet.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I don't think I assume anything.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that nothing is going to be brought to the party.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I go on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I err on the side of caution.
Right.
Because, you know, you have to. The people we deal with.
Yeah. So, making major decisions on assumptions is very dangerous. People should, however, be more tolerant of one another when it comes up to assuming, making assumptions about smaller things.
Yeah. Like, I assumed you liked herring.
Yeah.
So I prepared this entire meal of herring, including the drinks.
Yes.
How was I supposed
herring
to know?
Herring cocktail.
Yeah, you never said you didn't like it.
Yeah, so if it's a low, all right, fine, I don't like it, I'm going to eat the power bar that I have in my purse.
Yes. Because you assume that they may have something ridiculous to eat.
Right.
So you've erred on the side of caution.
But when you assume the other person brought the phone charger when you're out in the desert.
Yes. 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 I assume you did.
Mm.
That when people say I assume or I figured,
mm-hmm.
whenever someone says I figured, I'm like, well, you already know you're probably wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? You haven't thought this through already.
Right.
You know?
So you got to watch that. So when are you going to make assumptions? When are you not going to make assumptions?
Yeah. Don't assume. Don't reckon. Don't figure. Ask.
Another foolish thing is if you didn't read your insurance schedule or policy wording. Some people, like, they buy insurance or they think they have the right coverage for certain things.
That's the most important thing. Like, as soon as you, before you even sign the insurance, mm-hmm. you must read that. I know people don't like to read small print. I don't. But for insurance, hell yes.
Yeah, you have to. And you have to keep asking questions to the salesperson because they're not telling you everything.
No. They are there. I mean, they assume that you've read it,
mm-hmm.
probably for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting them in the first foolish category. I always tell everybody, if you don't have renter's insurance, get it.
Mm. Oh, my
get
God.
Get it. Yeah, it's cheap, and it can save you a lot of money.
That's right. Another, if you have a new contract for something.
Mm-hmm. Read it.
No, but also, like some people say, I don't need a lawyer to look at this.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much do.
Yeah, you do.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
Because there's hidden things in the fine print.
Or there's things that are not there that can be added. And a lot of people don't know this. You can attach your own riders to things sometimes.
Yeah.
You can write things in. You can have them change it. Like, a lot of contracts, when you get them, they're boilerplate, but it doesn't mean that you can't augment them in some way.
I think that the credit card companies sent, a form, an application to somebody, and he was like, yes, but in turn, you will pay all my credit card bills. Yes, I'll take this account, we'll open it up, I'll charge what I want, and I'm not responsible for paying anything back.
Okay.
And said, if you agree to this, then give me the credit card. And they gave him the credit card.
And now they're bound by this.
Yeah.
Because they agreed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it works. Yeah. Who's the fool now, credit card company?
Another foolish thing is to overextend yourself financially. Yeah. Speaking of credit. Well, people do this all the time.
It's hard not to. Because you want things and you're broke.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
That's how that works. Like, there's no mystery to that one at all, right?
Yeah,
I want these tickets to this concert, but I don't have the money.
You're right. Another thing is to use the internet without the correct settings and antivirus security.
Yeah. You don't have to spend a lot of money either. A lot of things, like, you can download things that are free, or your browser can help you with that. And also just be careful with that in general. I know a lot of people store all their information on their computer. So if you sat down at their computer, you could just get into all of their stuff.
Oh, I know. Right. It's all there.
It's all there. I always, for my laptop, because I do, I take my laptop all over the place. Mm-hmm. I have a setting for myself on there. Mm-hmm. I have one for administrator, and then I have guests. Mm-hmm. So if a friend or someone who maybe I don't even know that well or whatever wants to do things on my computer, they can use it, but they won't see all of my stuff.
Oh, that's
right. Because they have another profile. Yeah, I just figured that out.
Really?
Like about a year ago.
That's a great idea.
Because I didn't think I would need it. And then I thought, well, what if I'm away and someone's staying in my place and they want to use my computer, but they don't want to deal with like all of my stuff on my browser?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not that I'm trying to say that my friends would get into my stuff, but like, they don't even want to see that stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know?
You let me use a computer once and you were not afraid because
you're like,
I have things on there, but you can't, I know you won't even be able to get in them.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to use this.
Exactly. That's always a good way to get a friend who's not as computer savvy as you are.
You're right.
Let them loose.
Another thing that's foolish is the idea that you can fix another man or woman.
No.
Get in a relationship, be like, I can fix them up.
And I hear people say that he or she is a fixer-upper. I'm like, unless you're talking about a house or a car, they are not. You can make it worse.
Yes. When the need to fix a person is often rooted in one's own insecurities or a need to be needed.
Look out, I think sometimes that person sucks and you're just doing the best you can. You're polishing a turd over here. You know, like, instead of going out there and getting something else.
Yeah.
I know what they're saying, and that can be the case, but sometimes I think literally people are like, you know what, this guy or this girl is great, but that outfit.
Yeah.
You know, that music.
Right.
Right.
Can you change somebody's taste and style? Unless they want to.
I've definitely dated a couple guys that I was, you know, they got wind of the fact that I didn't really appreciate their style. Probably because I was like, dear God, are you going to wear that out with me? And they were like, well, what is it that you would like me to wear? And it's like, how about this? They're like, fine, I don't care.
Yeah. It could be something like that. Where
some people don't care.
They don't care about certain things like fashion. And they're like, you know what? If you want to dress me, just tell me what to wear.
In fact, a lot of guys that I know are like, yeah, if my wife or girlfriend or partner or whatever would pick out the stuff, I'll wear it. As long as it's not ridiculous.
Yeah.
As long as I can breathe.
Yeah. So low-level things where they don't have a lot invested in them, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Another foolish thing is trying to teach someone a lesson.
Huh? that's like most of what we do, isn't it? Is that called revenge, or am I getting that wrong?
It's similar to taking justice into your own hands.
Revenge.
Revenge. An active strategic effort at trying to teach someone a lesson is never a good thing.
Parents across the globe are like, are you kidding me? That's all we do.
It's like you don't want to like show somebody that they did something wrong by, like, it's kind of like a low-level revenge, I guess.
So, like, what would be an example of that? Like, if you see someone doing something foolhardy, let's say, because we're on the, and you just, you know it's not right, but you also know that they won't listen to you. Mm-hmm. So then will you just let them do the thing, and then later on you're like, see?
I told you so.
Yeah, I told you so. I guess.
All right, it says here, one example, and this is kind of extreme, engage in an extramarital affair.
Huh? Well, that's not where I thought that would go.
But. I know, but it's not quite right. I think that's too extreme for this kind of thing. I think this is a foolish example.
Well, let's hear. I mean, even if it's a bad example, I'm curious, though.
Yeah, it just says, this always ends in heartache and pain. I'm yet to hear of an extramarital affair that does not end this way. I think it's the idea that if you're committed to somebody and then you decide that you're unhappy in the marriage... And you're gonna, and or they don't appreciate you.
Where's the revenge aspect of it?
Well, you're right. Your partner doesn't appreciate you. Is not you're miserable in the marriage.
You're not getting what you need.
Right, and they're just not valuing you. Okay. Right? Then you go and have an affair,
and like stick it in their face.
To show them, like, hey, look, I am desirable.
This guy wants to be behind an Amoco, and that shows that I'm desirable.
Yeah, to show them that this is, hey.
I had some anonymous sex with someone from Tinder just because we were in a quarter mile radius of each other. Right. And now look.
Now look. See? Somebody really likes me.
Yeah. Aren't you more excited about me now?
I think this happens a lot in more like the middle age kind of thing.
Like maybe. People are like, it's like revenge. I'll show you. I got a hand job from Sheila.
Yeah.
Now.
It just makes everything bad.
Yes. It just does. I mean, I guess you're... That's getting even.
Yeah.
That's not teaching someone a lesson. Or I think, too, also maybe that's a little bit like licking your wounds. Right? Like, you feel bad, so you're like, here's what I'm going to go do.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the other person's like, yeah, whatever, dude.
Yeah. So, then there's the more drastic taking justice into your own hands.
Vigilante style.
That's not a good idea. Chuck Norris aspect.
Because
you get in trouble. Yes. You're not good at it. You haven't done it before, and then you do something that...
Revenge is for the professionals.
Yes.
You know,
leave it to somebody else.
Yes. If you don't know how to get revenge, then maybe don't start.
Yeah. Because if you don't get revenge on a regular basis for a small level thing.
Yeah.
Being extremely vindictive.
Yeah.
First of all, you're miserable if you're doing that.
Don't
anyway.
Start there is what we're saying. Work your way up to it. Work your way up to it.
No, but when you feel so wronged that you want justice and take it in your own hands, you're not practiced enough.
No, you don't know what you're doing. And you're probably it's revenge. You're probably going to serve it lukewarm.
Yeah.
Or piping hot. Yeah. And it's a dish best served cold. We all know that. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah, so don't do it. Don't become a vengeful person over small things or big things.
I like the idea of someone planning an elaborate revenge and then being like, oh, screw it. It's not worth it. You could have been doing something else during that time. I don't have time for revenge.
I don't either.
I always think of it that life will get revenge on that person. I don't need to do it.
Yeah, just let it go.
Yeah,
just let it go. It will take a lot of time, but it will happen.
Yeah, and then some people you're like, life has already gotten. Like, I can't do any more to you than life has already done.
Yeah.
Revenge granted.
Really?
Yeah. Some people you're just like, oh, you know what, fine. And, I'll take the insult.
You know, and don't believe that HIV and STDs only happen to other people.
Is that, that's what the article is really about.
Yeah.
STDs only happen to other people? Who thinks that?
Some people are just like, it doesn't happen to people like me. I'm clean.
It happens to people who have sex.
Yeah.
So unless you are, you know.
Yeah.
Abstinent, I guess.
And then.
Yeah, then you don't have anything to worry about.
Yes.
So I looked up April Fools, because every holiday has movies that go with it. So I was like, okay, I'll do a search for April Fool movies. So this is one. It is a 1969 film called The April Fools. So I was reading the synopsis of this. It is so swinging 60s. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. This movie nowadays would not happen at all.
Okay.
It opens at a swanky Wall Street party hosted by Ted, Howard's boss and the CEO of a big firm.
All right.
It turns out the party is a gathering of wealthy Wall Street traders and bigwigs looking to hook up with women.
What?
Who flock there eager to flaunt their goods and spend the night with the guy with the biggest money.
Yeah, right? Okay.
So Ted encourages Howard and teaches him how to land one of the various women and then bed them. Swinging. Howard is uncomfortable as he makes his round at the party, unable to get the attraction of any of the other women. I think this is characters played by Jack Lemmon.
Probably.
I'm not sure. Yeah. There's like tits everywhere. He's sucking his own thumb.
No, it's Don Knotts.
Yeah, it's like a Knotts. Another partygoer, Catherine, seems put off by the entire swinging party and the patrons. Like Howard, she moves around the party, entertained by the vulgar, highfalutin, the grandiose, the vain, the gaudy people. Catherine and Howard meet each other. Of course, they're instantly attracted because they're not into the scene, right? And it's Jack Lemmon. As Catherine is getting ready to go, Ted gives Howard the keys to his office and says, you know, this is your chance.
All right.
But he suggests that first, you know, you guys should go to the Safari Club. So they go to this place called the Safari Club.
What?
And it's scantily clad women in cages, dressed like, you know, they're animals acting like cave women for some reason. Okay. Safari Club cave women. To grab the attention of the cave women, waitresses, male clubgoers are given pop guns, and they shoot the women in the tuchus, this guy writes. So, like, this is 1969. What? Can you imagine? This is the kind of, like, ridiculousness, right? Mm-hmm. Catherine is aware that Howard is her husband's new employee. Howard doesn't know that Catherine is his boss's wife. So the boss's wife has been like, hey, go shtup my wife. You know, here's the keys. Right. The two agree that they don't like the Safari Club. Then they go to a hipster club, start dancing, and they have a good time.
Yeah.
They find that they like each other. Catherine then meets an astrologist who tells her that Ted, her husband, is not a good match, but Howard is the perfect
man
match.
Of her dreams.
Here's where it gets crazy. Catherine reveals to Howard that she plans on leaving Ted the next day.
Okay.
And is grabbing a one-way flight back home to Paris, of course.
Yes.
Right. Howard follows suit and decides to leave his wife.
A podunk town. Yes. If I ever heard of one.
Howard decides to leave his wife and grab the same flight with Catherine. For some bizarre reason, Howard has no problem leaving behind his wife and young son.
Yeah.
Like, he just decides, like, on the fly. The rest of the movie is about them trying to get on the plane.
What?
So, all, you know, things, hijinks ensue.
Okay.
Ted tries everything he can to win back Catherine. But if Howard wins out and is able to board the plane at the last minute, the movie ends with the two holding hands on the plane. Mm. April Fools. How bizarre. It kind of reminds me of the end of Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah.
Where they're just on the bus together. And I'm a cynic. I'm like, well, what happens now?
Well, the look on their faces is what happens
yes,
next.
Yeah.
For that movie, God. Realize they run off and get married, and then they're like, we just got married.
Yeah.
And we have no idea mm-hmm. what's next.
Yep. So this
terror.
Is,
it's terror.
Yeah. So this is the April Fool's 1969. There was another April Fool's movie that came out in 1986. I kind of remember it. It's a group of eight college students are together in an island mansion.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to one Miss Muffy St. John. And they're celebrating the final year of school. They soon discover that each has a hidden secret, and they start turning up dead. Or are they really
mm-hmm,
dead?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what's going on. Is it a part of an April Fool's hoax? And then the hostess, Muffy, is the only one who knows what's happening. But maybe it's Muffy who's doing all the
mm-hmm.
killing.
Mm.
This is a high camp 80s slasher film.
Wow.
That's kind of funny. But yeah, April Fool's Day. It's so, like, I'm at a point right now where I'm into these, like, movies and books about, like, the swinging mm-hmm. 60s. It just seems so ridiculous, the things that happen. I mean, they go to a club, and the women are dressed like cave women, and the way that you get their attention is to shoot them with a pop gun.
Yeah, that's a guy wrote that.
Yes! It's swinging New York. And of course, you know, the Jack Lemmon's character is horrified.
Yeah, like, what? This,
you know, yeah.
People do this? This is too much.
Exactly. All right, what do you have?
Hey, you know, it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Well, I have the Fool tarot card meaning.
Okay.
Meaning. Now, I didn't really realize this, but, you know, the Fool is the first card of the tarot deck.
I didn't know it was the first card.
Yes, it's the very first one.
Huh.
And tarot cards, they have a different meaning when they're upright and then when they're reversed. So when you get a reading there and you get the Fool.
So what does the Fool look like? This is the one that's hanging up. Oh, that's the hanged man, obviously.
No, the Fool is this rather dashing young man.
Oh, that's the Fool?
The Fool, yes. And okay. He's standing at the edge of a cliff and he has like a bag over his shoulder like he's going on a trip.
Mm-hmm. He's going to hop the rails.
And he's standing at the edge of the cliff and kind of like oblivious to the fact that he might fall off the cliff. And there's usually a dog snapping at his heels.
Okay.
And it's kind of this thing of like, watch where you're going. Don't be foolish. But also like, hey, I'm going to start off on a new adventure without a care in the world. And it's kind of about innocence too. So
that's of right side up.
Right side up. It means beginnings, innocence, spontaneity, and a free spirit.
Okay.
And if you get it reversed, it's being naive, foolish, reckless, and being a risk taker.
Huh.
Okay. So those are, so if you get that in a reading, that's like kind of the thing. But the Fool, since it's the first card of the tarot deck and it comes, and April Fool's Day is in April, that's the beginning of the astrology season. Like, for astrology, like, January is not the beginning of the new year. It's April. It's spring.
Yeah, of course. Doesn't it make sense that spring would be the beginning of the new year?
It would. Yes, it makes sense. But we do it differently.
You know, everything's like, coming back into bloom. It's renewing. Right, that's right. When Oestra is, or Christians call it Easter.
Yes, and since Easter, you know. This is about, so the Fool is numbered zero. It's the number of unlimited potential.
Mm-hmm.
And it could come at the beginning. It usually comes in the beginning. Well, it means the beginning. It's shown the beginning of the journey with unlimited potential. The sun is rising up behind the Fool, representing the start of the journey. He's facing north, the direction of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Or northwest. Oh, I didn't know that. Northwest is the direction of the unknown. He's looking upwards. It's all about starting something new and kind of being fearless.
Northwest.
Yeah.
That's like up and to the left a little bit.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I love this. So over the years, as we've been talking about the different seasons, about tarot cards, about the ancient religions, the things are kind of starting to come together a little
bit. Now, think about this. So northwest is up and to the left a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're trying to remember something, you're trying to think of something, where do you, you look up to the...
Well, you look up.
You look up like, I don't know, and you kind of look up to the left.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if there's something to that about that direction.
Yeah.
Huh. I like that. Cool.
Yeah.
But fool. So I have here some ancient Roman pranks.
Okay.
So we like to get fancy with it and literary. So this is about I'm going to mispronounce it because, you know, my ancient Roman.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Your ancient Roman is horrible. I know. Have to say.
I need to step up my ancient Roman game today. Yeah. This is a person called Elagabalus, and it's Elagabalus and his wild animals. So Elagabalus is known as one of Rome's most licentious emperors, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah. Right? Well, they were not shy.
Yeah. So he ate off of silver platters only, put gold fabric on his couches. He liked a nice little lame.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also credited as the inventor of the whoopee cushion.
No kidding.
That's what it says.
And okay.
In the Historia Augusta. Indeed, for him, life was nothing except a search after pleasure. Right, so a real hedonist. So the Historia chronicles his misadventures in which he had a menagerie of wild animals. He had pet leopards, lions, and other large cats, and they were tame.
All right.
But he would invite people over for parties.
Oh, God.
And when they weren't particularly paying attention, like after a banquet or in between courses, he would have the big cats brought out sat around the room.
Right.
So like on couches and things like that. Prompting the guests to freak out because they thought they were going to be devoured.
No kidding.
They didn't know that they were tame.
And he thinks this is hilarious.
Every time. Every time. Sometimes he would even put... So you say you went to his party. You get loaded. You're like, I'm going back to my chambers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pass out. You wake up. Guess what's in bed with you? A lion.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? This is at a time, too, where people were put to death at this
and
way.
And he's like, that's not hilarious. Funny. It was already full of Christians.
Yes, exactly.
So, It's totally safe.
Yes, totally. I can't even imagine waking up with a leopard in my room.
He already had a nun and a priest for breakfast
earlier.
Fine.
He's good.
Yeah.
So not to be outdone, he wasn't just a cat person. He rode it in chariots, and he liked his chariots to be pulled by whatever, elephants, dogs, mm-hmm. the stag, lions, camels around Rome. He also collected snakes, mm-hmm. and he used to just let them loose.
On a day, right.
And according to Historia, many people were injured by the fangs, as well as in the general panic.
Yes, right.
Of trying to get away from snakes in the forum or whatever.
And he thinks
it is.
This is great.
And he thinks it's hilarious.
But he loved that reaction because he also, sometimes he would, he dressed up like a beautiful woman, tiara and all. And okay. he came to the dinner and he would dance and perform elegantly for his guests and then leave without an explanation.
What?
Like, what was that?
And just not say anything about it.
Yeah. Just that's it.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So then there's here's Antony and Cleopatra. So Mark Antony got pranked as well. At one point, his lover, Cleopatra, the pharaoh, mm-hmm. invited him to go fishing. Mm. And apparently he was a crappy fisherman.
Of course.
And he didn't want to look bad. So he would have his guy swim under the water and stick a fish on. So he was constantly pulling up fish. So
it?
Cleopatra found out about this and was like, uh-huh, I got you. Invited him out mm-hmm. to go fishing.
Yeah.
Invited every bigwig in the empire.
Yeah.
Right? And then had, while he was fishing, instead of his hook being baited with live fish, mm-hmm. she had it baited with a salted cod.
Oh, no.
So he pulled that up. And that was her trick. Sorry, not salted cod. I digress. It was salted herring.
Oh, herring.
Of course.
Yes.
Again, herring. Herring.
What is it about the herring?
I have no idea. He wasn't feeling good about it, basically. He was very upset.
Is that why they call it a red herring? Because it's a trick?
I have no idea. Now I have to research this.
The herring.
I want to know more about the herring. Because this is in Egypt.
Yes, yeah, so this is going through a variety of cultures
yes.
at different times.
Yeah, it's doing the rounds. Okay. All right, so those are my two good ancient Roman practical jokes. I like the herring one.
Yeah.
Because he was probably all excited, like, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, fish tails. All right, what do you have?
There's some just embarrassing mistakes in history that would... It's just like foolish things that people have done, you know, from the 12 book publishers that turned down Harry Potter.
Oh, like, yeah. You know,
and then, I don't know, people just make mistakes. I mean, we're human beings and we make horrible decisions and stupid mistakes. But
luckily,
there are some idiotic moves that should never be repeated.
We're small people and our mistakes are small.
Yeah.
Like, I've never turned down Harry Potter as a book.
Yeah. Did you know that... even though this is terrible, like, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor when not a single U.S. aircraft carrier was in port.
Yeah!
It was empty.
How bizarre is that? Did somebody know what was going on? Like, how could that be?
I don't know.
It's bad timing.
Yeah. Let's see. Some random fool who left the door open to Constantinople, allowing the Turks to conquer easily. The gate was open. So they have like the
what
big.
I thought I shut that.
Yeah.
I swore I closed that.
No.
That guy.
Yes. Russia selling Alaska to the U.S. for 2 cents an acre because they thought it was useless tundra.
Right. Really? That's bad.
Yeah. That's like. Oh.
That's bad. They're probably still pissed about that. I would be.
Yeah.
2 cents an acre.
Yeah, so
I imagine the on the American side, they were like, push this through now. Get this done.
Yeah.
Right? Before they realize it.
Yeah. Hurry.
Yeah.
So Genghis Khan sends his ambassador over to the Persians.
Okay.
You know, reaching out.
Yeah, reaching out.
And so they send him back without his head.
Okay.
And so... And they pissed off Genghis Khan, who then brought down the whole, like, all sent out his armies.
So that was the beginning of
that? Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, why would you do that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Clearly, they wanted to get it on, but they weren't ready.
Yeah. They severely underestimated.
Yeah.
The Dutch discovered Australia 100 years before the British, but ignored it because they thought it was a useless desert.
What is this? I would love to be at such a point in my life in a civilization where we, Katie and I, found several islands and we're like, nah.
Yeah.
Screw it. Land? They're making more of it every day.
I don't know. What is one of the dumbest things that you've done? Or like,
that
what
passed is
that,
up on?
Was that, or you passed up on or you just underestimated? Like, for instance, when I heard Game of Thrones was going to be made into a show, I was like, that's dumb. It's a video game. I'm not watching.
Say that today. I'm not watching another video game an HBO series.
I was like, are you kidding? This is video game.
I'm trying to think. It's one of the dumbest things I did. This is many years ago when I first come into the city. I didn't have enough money to get into the subway or something like that. And so for some bizarre reason, it occurred to me that, well, when someone opens the door, I'll simply walk in backwards. I don't know what I thought was going to show up on the videotape.
You wanted to just walk it through like a normal person.
But like walking backwards. I'm like, well, that way when they roll the tape, it'll look like I'm coming out. It was not a good day for my brain and for me. But I did that. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's the dumbest. And that was one of those things like, you know, a couple minutes later, I was like, oh, nice job, Chiquetta. Well played. Well played. You impressed everyone today.
Oh, God. That's like... And I'm sure everybody, I'm not sure everybody has done it, but I have done this at least twice. Walk through a revolving door with the person in their pie.
Oh, no! This happened to me once. I got through a revolving door, and this guy accidentally got behind me. And it was very uncomfortable because it was one of those ones that it wasn't so smooth.
Yeah.
And so we were just kind of in there for a while. And I looked at him, I was like, really, dude? Really? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, well, this is a really uncomfortable 10 seconds. With us in here.
Because you got to shuffle, like, little tiny steps.
But it was hard for two to shuffle.
Yeah.
In a confined space like that. What happened? Was you used in a hurry?
You're just not even thinking, and you're like, I got to get in, you know, this where I'm going. And you just, like, oh, this is like a single person pie.
Yes.
Pie wedge here.
Each wedge is for one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was angry at the guy, but I also kind of was, like, felt bad because, you know, he just felt like a dick.
Yeah.
And everyone's looking at him like it was obvious that we weren't together because of the look on my face. And the fact that I shouted out, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, really? Oh.
It was like kind of a storm out in New York City, and a blind man asked me for help to the subway.
Okay.
And so he's like, can you walk me to the subway? I'm just, you know, I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, blind.
Yeah. And he's got his stick.
Mm-hmm.
And so he offered his arm and I took his arm.
Did you take the stick?
No, I get to the top of the stairs of the subway. I'm like, there it is.
Oh.
I dropped him off at the top of the stairs instead of helping him down the slick flight of stairs.
Yes, he's probably like, thanks.
Yeah.
I'll wait here for the next person. Hopefully they'll have a little bit more of a clue than you. I actually don't want to walk down the stairs with you at this point. Yeah.
I just wasn't thinking. I'm like, I brought him to the subway, literally, but didn't really help him.
You know what? Maybe he should have been more explicit about what aspect of the subway he was hoping to experience that day.
Yeah.
Because you did get him to the subway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like really foolish things I've ever passed up on. Probably not. That walking backwards is always my go-to for what are you thinking? Like, I don't know. I hadn't even had any drinks or anything. I was just in a hurry.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta get, maybe I have to go to an interview or something. I was like, I'll just shuffle through backwards.
Yeah. Oh, and how about the thing, like, when you're like, oh, this carton of eggs is on the edge of the counter. It looks like it's gonna fall. I should move it. But you don't, and you're like, I'm fine, because I'm gonna move the pot over.
Yes, I'm gonna do it later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely things like that where I'm like, I need to balance this incredibly expensive piece of glass up on top of five other things.
Yes.
Right. By the doorway, or, you know, like, stuff like that, that I'm like, oh, good job.
Oh, yeah, and I put this mirror on the floor. I can step on it, but I shouldn't. Yes, but
I'll just remember it's there. I'll see it.
Yeah.
I'll see the other side of my foot right before I crunch down on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so if you want to know, like, some people are like, I'm smart, you know, and I'm fine. I'm not going to do any of these dumb things.
Really?
That you're talking about. Here's some unmistakable characteristics of being a fool.
Okay.
So if you have these, you're probably a fool.
Yeah.
Speaking too much. If you're constantly...
Constantly
talking about whatever it is.
I tell you, lately, one day, I forgot my headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And it just turned me against humanity.
Oh, no.
I just heard so much BS on the subway because the dumbest person always talks the loudest.
Yeah.
Right? The stupidest conversation is always at a higher decibel than everything else. and I was fumbling in my bag. I was like, I got to put something in my ears. I just put my fingers in my ears. I was like, I don't care how this looks.
Yeah.
I don't care how this looks. It's either this or I start punching in the air. Because I was just so upset with what I was hearing. And then it made me not ever want to talk again. The conversation was so dumb. I was like, you know what? Maybe I should never talk.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. It makes you wonder.
Like, yeah. It makes you think, like, okay, you know what? I'll just hush. Yes. All right. So yes. Talking too much.
Now, having no self-control.
Okay.
So...
Just flinging yourself through life.
Yeah. You're just kind of, like, letting any kind of impulse...
carry you away.
Yeah.
This one is tough for me because I'm a fairly, at least 3/4 of my heart is made out of coal. No. So I'm not a very emotional person. But I know a lot of people really, they do let their emotions take over and carry them through life. I don't know how they do it. I couldn't live like that.
Yeah, but it's like, it's something like emotions. Some people feel them a lot deeper.
They must. Exactly. But as I see a lot of, you know, things driven like this kind of the lack of self-control sometimes is driven by the emotionality of the situation. Yes. I don't know.
Yes. I know. It's hard. Yeah. I used to get more carried away.
But you get less carried away.
I get less carried away.
You put it away.
Some things that used to bother me. And then I realize when I feel bothered, I don't have to really talk about it.
Or do anything.
And it kind of goes away.
Yeah.
It's all right.
That's kind of like why I put my fingers in my ears like a small kid. Mm-hmm. I didn't go la, 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 but I was close to doing so.
Yeah. Gossiping is another one. If you're constantly gossiping, it's
I got nothing to gossip about at this point in my life.
I know.
But, you know, it's here.
Not planning ahead. Oh, my God.
Don't even. Okay. This is another thing that I am at the point in my life now where I cannot do things with people who are our age if there's not some kind of a plan.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be the plan that we're going to follow. It doesn't have to be a perfect plan, but, like, please.
Yeah.
Just put something, like, a broad, like, a sketch.
Yeah.
You know, like a
it's
light.
It's going to be a time frame. It's going to be dinner.
A location.
Or a
museum. You know.
Who's going to be there.
Who's going to be there. What we're going to do.
Right.
You know, the date. These kind of things, how we're going to get there, like some really, really basic stuff. I don't know. If I don't have a plan, I get nervous. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. That's why I tell people, it's not that I am, the reason why I like to get things planned is because it makes me crazy to not know what's going on.
Right.
For people who don't plan, maybe they don't care. They just kind of go with the flow. I'm not a go with the flow kind of person.
No, I'm not either.
Yeah. We don't, no. Katie and I always plan.
We plan. You need to know what times.
Yeah.
We need to know.
We may change the plan.
Yeah.
But like we feel comfortable with a plan in place.
Let's see. Another one is being stubborn.
Okay.
You have to, I mean, like, there is something about having your own conviction. That's really great.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And to stand up for something. But if you're cut, if you're like, no, this is how it's going to be.
Yes.
And you're going to hang on to it like a dog with a bone.
You'll find yourself all by yourself.
Yes. Yes, yes. And the same thing, being lazy.
Who has time for that?
I know, like, if you're by yourself and it's like you want to waste your own time.
Yeah, you want to have a lazy Sunday, fine.
Yeah, but if you're going to be lazy, like, there's some people who it's like, they don't want to do anything, but they don't admit it. And it's like, okay, I have a Saturday. I want to do something. And it's like, you want to go to a movie?
No.
Do you want to go shopping? No. Do you want to No.
They want that stuff to have happened.
Yeah. Right. They want it to be over with.
They want it to be over with.
Yeah.
Who puts up with these people, though? Somebody does, because they're not by themselves enough. Yeah. I'm all for ostracizing these lazy, impetuous people who make assumptions.
Yes. Also,
who don't plan.
Yes, these are these. Being stingy is another one.
Ooh, that's the worst.
Nobody
it's
wants
a
to
very
be
unattractive quality.
Yeah.
And also, this goes along with people who are constantly talking about getting deals on things. Mm-hmm. Like, constantly, you're like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, great.
Got a deal.
So, but I'm the kind of person, I do like a cost-benefit analysis because I think there's money and there's time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So sometimes it's worth spending more money because of the time aspect.
Right. Or the trouble that it's going to take.
The hassle.
Like, if you're going to take 3 different trains to get to the same restaurant,
No,
you're taking the car.
I'm taking a car some of the way. Sometimes you just got to, you know what? Don't get the dessert.
Yeah.
Save on that.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Don't get the lobster.
Yeah, just get the salad.
Yeah, get the salad and an Uber.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
That's what you can do.
So I have some, I guess, kind of to close out on the foolishness.
Yes.
I have some foolish Penis News. This is Member on the Move, Dick Updates, Scrum Stories. This is a segment where I report on dicks in the news. And this one, I'm not even sure what to make of it. We talk all the time about how gentlemen get their Johnsons stuck into things. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is in a place called Ka-Ching, which is the best name ever.
Ka-Ching.
Ka-Ching. Yeah. And this is in, where is this? Somewhere in Asia. It doesn't even say in here. It's a terrible article. A 45-year-old man was taken to the hospital Tuesday morning after he could not remove a ring he wore around his penis.
They're always putting a ring on their penis, these guys.
And then it says here, a pair of scissors was also stuck to the penis when the man tried to cut the ring open.
What kind of... Oh, I thought it was metal.
I have no idea how that happened. Maybe it wasn't. Hmm. Maybe it was like a rubber ring or something like that.
And so you put the scissor
in there. And now he's walking around with a ring and a scissor stuck to his dick.
Oh, because he can't quite turn it to yes. cut it. Oh, my God.
So he's got to go in like that?
Yeah.
With like something like a skirt or something draped over himself?
No, but wouldn't you say, hey, at least he tried as the nurse or doctor on call?
I guess. But look, if something's tight around a part of your body.
Yeah.
You know, you could cut it from the outside, but I wouldn't try to get something inside of it. Because now that's in there as well. So the dirt, of course, and this is in, I think this might be in Thailand. I think it's in Thailand. Of course, they call in fire and rescue.
That's the way they always fix the situation.
And then there's a picture. And the picture is courtesy of the fire and rescue department. It's a picture of them in the ER room dealing with the guy's penis. And they blurted out the picture of the doctor and the nurses. But you can see the firemen. They're like, we want people to know that Sarawak Fire and Rescue Department is on the job.
We are doing what you pay us to do.
Clearly showing their faces. They got the picture taken. It's a photo credit from them. So apparently they have their own photographer. Sorry, it's Malaysia, it says here at the top. So he was taken to the hospital, and in it took them 25 minutes to remove the items, plural, from his penis. Special equipment, including a saw, among other things, were used. Man was not hurt during the procedure.
Did they put him out, do you think?
He's in stable conditions. Probably not.
They're like, no, you're going to watch us.
You're going to watch us doing it, and then we're going to take pictures. And put it. So they blurted out his, you know, they've made it, you can't see his face, you can't see the doctor's faces, but the firemen are back there like, hey.
Hey, they've got nothing to be embarrassed about.
No.
They're doing their job.
Yeah, this is what they're getting paid for in Sarawak. So that is, how foolish. Not one between. It's like Brer Rabbit. You know what I mean? Like, he sticks his finger in the tar, and then his whole arm.
Yeah.
You know? It's ridiculous. Walking around with a pair of scissors and a ring stuck to your dick. Good luck. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.